The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Coltrane Carlson at Raccoon Valley Radio in Stuart and Mike Hohenbrink at Kalmar Courier in Kalmar. Coltrane, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Okay, thank you very much, Senator Grassley, for taking some time with us here today. Last time I spoke to you, we talked about the Farm Bill negotiations, and that was clear back in November of last year. And at that time, I'm sure you're still adamant about making sure that crop insurance is once again included in the bill. But what I'd like to know from you today is maybe a couple, three more items that you'd like to see included in the Farm Bill, as well as the confidence level that you have about it being reauthorized this year.
Well, one of two things is going to happen in regard to your last question. Either we get a five-year Farm Bill, which will take us through 2028, or that doesn't get done this year, we'll extend the existing Farm Bill into next year, and then hopefully next year get something passed for the 5 years ahead, because that's been the pattern in the past. And we're going to get a Farm Bill because it's very, very bipartisan. And I don't have any doubts that we're going to get a Farm Bill. Things that I'd like to see in addition to crop insurance would be this business of the federal government getting whole farms in the CRP and then maybe paying more to the landlord than the cash renter can do it. We've got to make sure that doesn't exceed the 85% average countywide for that county. So that we don't have the federal government squeezing out the cash rent renter. And that's particularly true and necessary for young farmers. A second thing would be agriculture research, more money for agriculture research. And then thirdly, some more money for the promotion of our exports. Well, it'd be entirely agricultural exports. There's another thing that normally wouldn't be in the Farm Bill that if we can't get it done separately, I'd like to get it included in the Farm Bill, and that's my cattle bill to get a fair market for independent producers in Iowa that don't want to contract ahead. And I think you've heard me say this, but the four big meat packers have 85% of the kill every day. And out of that 85%, almost 85% of the kill comes from contracts that are made by the big feedlots of Texas, Kansas, Colorado, Oklahoma. And when you got those big feedlots filling up the daily kill, it squeezes out the Iowa cattleman from getting a market on a specific day and getting a fair price for that day. So that cattle bill would take care of that. And it's something that we started last year, didn't get done last year. It's a very bipartisan, 10 Republican, 10 Democrat co-sponsors. So I'd like to see that, if we can't get that as a separate bill, get it in the Farm Bill. Mike?
Senator, with the weekend collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank and then the New York-based Signature Bank, there are calls for the White House to guarantee deposits to avoid risk of a major economic fallout. As of published reports this morning, 20 separate banks have been suspended with trading on the Wall Street Stock Exchange. Do you support some kind of a bailout for insolvent banks to prevent the situation from spreading?
No, and it's my understanding the way they're handling this is that there's not going to be a taxpayer bailout. The only question I would have about how they're doing it, does the Federal Reserve have the authority to do what they're doing? I can't make a judgment on that at this point. But if they do have the authority to do it, they're doing everything to make sure that the taxpayers don't have a bailout and that the stockholders in the bank and the people that have unsecured loans to this bank, that they don't get protected because they invest in, you take in a capitalist society, you take a chance when you make those sorts of investments. And I see it also as just an editorial comment to your question. I see it pretty much as a bailout of the high-tech industries of California, as I do the bank itself, because this bank was doing probably much more business with high tech than they should have. They weren't spreading their risk as much. And then another place where they thought they were protecting themselves, but they made themselves very vulnerable, is when they had a lot of government bonds with low interest rates, and the government increases the interest rates, and the banks lose their value. And so in that particular case, they had about 50% of their investment in government bonds, where the typical bank has about 30%. Back to Coltrane.
And then following those congressional hearings with the Norfolk Southern CEO this last week in Congress about the train derailment and cleanup efforts in the East Palestine area of Ohio, did you learn anything from those hearings, Senator, and maybe how Congress can better help to prevent maybe disasters from like this happening again?
I don't think I learned anything new, except the president has gone out there, and he should have been there right away. And the fact that the government bureaucracy was slow to respond to it. And those are the criticisms I would have of it. Yes, I did learn something new. Maybe I better back up and say you asked me if I learned anything new. Evidently, these railroads rent these cars from other companies. And they're finding, at least this was testified yesterday, that with this second derailment in Springfield, Ohio, they started looking more closely at the wheels on these cars more specifically. And there seems to be something wrong with the way these companies that own these cars, are they keeping the wheels safe? And that may be one thing I learned. But otherwise, not a whole lot. There is one thing that I think we should keep in mind when we see such a catastrophe as this. We have about 1,000 derailments a year, all kinds of railroads having derailments. That 1,000 figure sounds like a lot. But if you go back 30 years, that would have been 6 or 7 times the number of derailments. So there's been a vast improvement of the safety to the public of derailments. Mike?
Senator, you recently put out a call calling for reining in spending after the president released his fiscal year 2024 budget request. Could you summarize the top 2 to 3 primary concerns on your part for the budget? What are your biggest concerns with what the president's calling for?
Yeah, it's based on the proposition you can tax your way out of a fiscal deficit, and that's never worked. And if you want to, you should have a policy, and this budget isn't such a policy, but you should have a policy of growing your way out of the economy, or growing your way out of the fiscal deficit by growing the economy, and with $4 or $5 trillion of new taxes, it's an attempt to tax your way out, and growth of the economy is going to suffer, because when you take the federal government's share of the gross national product from a 50-year average of about 19.5% to 20%, take it up to 25%, you're depriving the private sector of investment that it takes to create jobs. Because you understand the government consumes wealth. It doesn't create wealth. If you want to create wealth, it's done by private capital investing to create jobs and to enhance productivity. Back to Coltrane.
Okay, and so, Senator, kind of going off from there, do you think that what the Republican-controlled House is doing by not raising the nation's debt ceiling being maybe good for the country overall? Can you speak to us about that?
Well, I think in the final analysis we're going to have an agreement. So all the rhetoric you're hearing now between Republicans and Democrats, I don't think you should judge whether or not we're going to not increase the debt limit, because it's got to happen, and it will happen. Mike, this is the last question.
Sure. Senator, the storming of the El Paso border checkpoint Sunday has brought the border issue back in the spotlight, with reports of up to 1,000 border crossers seeking to go over en masse. Are we likely to see renewed action in Congress on border security based on this?
I don't think you're going to see renewed action on the part of Congress, because Congress can't do any more than we've already done to protect the border. It's against the law to come to our country without our permission. And the president isn't enforcing the law. And I think if he would start enforcing the law, you could easily pass legislation. And it's wrong that he's not doing that. You know, we talk about it compromises our sovereignty. The president's not doing his job. It's the effect of he's not doing his job. There's almost a life or death situation. You got people, hundreds of people dying in our southwest deserts because they get caught there and aren't prepared to enter our country that way. Then you have fentanyl coming into the country because of the cartels and their influence at the border. And you're enriching cartels. And, you know, the cartels kill people. But also fentanyl killed 70,000 Americans last year. And then you have people with criminal records coming in that are creating more crime. You have people on our terrorist watch list coming in. I haven't had any evidence that they've created any terrorism damage in our country yet. But why are they coming here if it isn't for that purpose? And then you have human trafficking and the rape of women. And all those sorts of things that are a life or death situation. I don't know whether the president realizes that his policy at the border is actually killing people. Thank you both very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Coltrane and Mike, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.